Study 8, Section 2, Differences Between God and Jesus. There is a fine balance to be drawn between those passages which emphasize the degree to which God was in Christ and those which highlight his humanity. The latter group of passages make it impossible to justify biblically the idea that Jesus is God himself, very God of very God, as the doctrine of the Trinity wrongly states. This phrase, very God of very God, was used at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, where the idea of God being a Trinity was first promulgated. It was unknown to the early Christians. The word Trinity never occurs in the Bible. Study 9 will delve further into Christ's total victory over sin and God's part in it. As we commence these studies, let us remember that salvation depends upon an acceptance of the real Jesus Christ. See John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 36, chapter 6, verse 53, and chapter 17, verse 3. Once we have come to this true understanding of his conquest of sin and death, we can be baptized into him in order to share in this salvation. One of the clearest summaries of the relationship between God and Jesus is found in the first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Reflection upon the emphasized words leads to the following conclusions. As there is only one God, it is impossible that Jesus could be God. If the Father is God and Jesus is also God, then there are two gods. But to us there is but one God, the Father. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. God the Father is therefore the only God. It is therefore impossible that there can be a separate being called God the Son, as the false doctrine of the Trinity states. The Old Testament likewise portrays Yahweh, the one God, as the Father. For example, Isaiah 63, verse 16, and chapter 64, verse 8. In addition to this one God, there is the mediator, the man Christ Jesus, and one mediator, it says. That word "and" indicates a difference between Christ and God. As Christ is the mediator, it means that he is a go-between. A mediator between sinful man and sinless God cannot be sinless God himself. It had to be a sinless man of sinful human nature. The man Christ Jesus leaves us in no doubt as to the correctness of this explanation. Even though he was writing after the ascension of Jesus, Paul does not speak of the God Christ Jesus. Several times we are reminded that God is not a man. For instance, Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, Hosea chapter 11, verse 9. Yet Christ was clearly the Son of Man, or as he is often called in the New Testament, the man Christ Jesus. The Greek text calls him Son of Anthropos, that is, of mankind, rather than Son of Anna, husband or man. In Hebrew thought, the Son of Man meant an ordinary mortal man, for instance, Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12. For since by man, that is Adam, came death, by man, that is Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. Yet he was also the Son of the Highest. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 32. God being the Highest indicates that only he has ultimate highness. Jesus being the Son of the Highest shows that he cannot have been God himself in person. The very language of Father and Son, which is used about God and Jesus, makes it obvious that they are not the same. Whilst the Son may have certain similarities to his Father, he cannot be one and the same person, nor be as old as his Father. In line with this, there are a number of obvious differences between God and Jesus, which clearly show that Jesus was not God himself. God cannot be tempted. James chapter 1, verse 13.
Jesus, Christ was in all points tempted like as we are. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15.
God cannot die. He is immortal by nature. Psalm 90, verse 2, 1 Timothy 6, verse 16.
Christ died and was in the grave for 3 days. Matthew 12, verse 40 and 16, verse 21. He was once under the dominion of death. Romans 6, verse 9.
God cannot be seen by men. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, Exodus chapter 33, verse 20.
Men saw Jesus and handled him. 1 John 1, verse 1 emphasizes this.
When we are tempted, we are forced to choose between sin and obedience to God. Often we choose to disobey God. Christ had the same choices, but always chose to be obedient. He therefore had the possibility of sinning, although he never actually did. It is unthinkable that God has any possibility of sinning. We have shown that the seed of David, promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 16, was definitely Christ. Verse 14 speaks of Christ's possibility of sinning. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him. The centurion reasoned that because he was under authority, he therefore had authority over others, and he applies this very same logic to the abilities of the Lord Jesus. Because he was under God's authority, therefore and thereby, he would have the power to have other things under his authority. And the Lord commended the centurion for that perception. Clearly, the Lord Jesus is to be understood as under the Father's authority, and it is only because he is in this subordinate position that he has authority over all things now.